The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I am Chris Buskirk. He is Seth Leibson, and this is the Seth and Chris Show. Welcome back, everybody. Happy Thursday. In studio today, I am very pleased to have Dr. Kelly Ward with me. Kelly.
Hey, Chris. Great to be here.
Good. I'm glad to have you back in the studio with me. And joining us, I can see through the window, Dr. Sebastian Gorka is just in the next studio over. He's finishing up another live media hit. I'm not sure who he's on with right now, but he'll be joining us here in the studio in the next couple minutes. But
yep.
We've been looking forward to this for a while now. You've got a big event tonight, and Dr.
Yes.
Gorka came in to, is he the headliner? He's the headliner.
I'll give him the headliner. I'm gonna open because I think that Dr. Gorka brings so much to the conversation about national security, about counterterrorism, about the state of what's going on inside the swamp, and will give us a great perspective of that. So we'll get a little taste of that here today when he joins us on the radio. But people could come out tonight. He's going to be in Scottsdale. It's not often that we get people of his caliber out here into our neck of the woods, and it would be great if you want to come out. You can find out all about it at kellyward.com, KellyWard.com. There's an events tab. Just click on that, get some tickets, come out to Scottsdale, and see what it's all about.
Are there still tickets available?
There are for Scottsdale. We're actually sold out. We're having an event in Prescott tomorrow, and that event is basically sold out for our breakfast. And we're trying to see how many more people the fire marshal will let us squeeze into the Prescott Resort and Conference Center. But tonight we have a little bit more leeway with what we can do.
Okay, I feel like I'm doing rock radio in the 70s. We're sold out, and we got to get the fire marshal involved. We want more people to come out.
Well, I think it is because there's so much excitement. There's so much energy really behind my effort to get to Washington, because people do want to drain the swamp. They are sick and tired of the swamp. They're sick and tired of the insider class, the so-called elites inside Washington, D.C., who think that they should come into Arizona and meddle in our elections. I mean, when you look at the people who are running against me. So we've got two women basically standing in the way of my being the first woman senator from this great state. On the Republican side, we've got Martha McSally, who is handpicked by Mitch McConnell. On the Democrat side, we've got Kyrsten Sinema, handpicked by Chuck Schumer. Do we want the D.C. inside machine deciding who the senator from our great state is going to be? I certainly don't think so. I think that we need a person representing we the people, and that's what Kelly Ward for Arizona will do.
Dr. Ward, what are the issues that you think will drive the election this year? I mean, I know people are talking about a lot of people were not happy with the spending bill last year, but there's all the last week. I wish it was last year. But there's other issues. There's Second Amendment issues. There's immigration. I mean, there's all kinds of things. Elections seem like they turn usually on one or two big themes. What do you see as being those themes for this year?
Right. Well, I still think that the America First agenda really resonates with people across the board. And that is, first and foremost, we've seen poll after poll here in Arizona and across the country. People are still very, very concerned about illegal immigration and how insecure our border is, especially on the southern border. They want the border secured. They want to stop illegal immigration. They want to stop rewarding people who have come here the wrong way. So that, of course, is at the top of my agenda. And I think that's going to really be still driving things come August and November. Now, of course, we're seeing a lot of excitement about how much money people have back in their pockets because the economy has turned around. Jobs are up. People are feeling prosperous again. And I think that's very, very important, too, which is why last week's vote on the omnibus bill was so disappointing, in that Republicans in control of the House and the Senate sent such a big spending, fiscally irresponsible bill and forced it on President Donald Trump and forced it on us here in Arizona and across the country. Chris, the only Republican in our delegation who voted for that was Martha. She joined Kyrsten Sinema. They have no qualms about being big government, big spending, insider politicians. That's got to change.
There were there have been stories that have been circulating. I look at the New York Times and I thought, gosh, I actually like the question they're asking in the story. I never think that. They said, what are Republicans going to do for the rest of this year?
Yeah.
It's a good question. Yeah. So if you were in the Senate right now and you were posed that question, mm-hmm. what would you say? Okay, passed the omnibus.
Yes.
Well, now what do we do?
Build the wall. We have to continue on that path to build the wall. I did love the president's speech today. I didn't hear the whole thing, but I heard a lot of it. And I think it is important for us to be investing in America and putting America first and looking at our infrastructure and looking at the way the federal government can be a tiny part of what needs to be done across the country by bringing in states and bringing in private industry to rebuild the country and make sure that our highways are safe and passable and we have less congestion, that our bridges are holding up and are what we want to present not only to our country but to the world.
Do you think that's the next logical step for Republicans is to focus on a big infrastructure bill this year, try and get that done?
Well, you know, it's hard to have logic in Washington, D.C. I don't know that I trust that they're going to do any of that. I don't think that infrastructure really is, you know, the big sexy topic that people want to really get behind. I think that it's still going to take things like immigration reform and securing the border, repealing Obamacare, fixing the VA, which hopefully we're on the way to doing, making sure that the military is strong, not because we want war, but because we want to be able to have that Reagan doctrine of peace through strength. Peace through strength. So those are the things that resonate with the electorate on both sides of the aisle, really. And I think that those kind of issues are still going to be very, very prominent on the campaign trail. Now, what they're going to accomplish in Washington, I don't know, because I know they want to have it as short as possible because so many of them need to just get back home and mislead the voters into sending them back.
Don't forget the part about sending the money first.
Oh, yes. Send the money first. Send the money. You know, one thing I hear from people across the country, because I have to call people every single day trying to raise money for this effort to get to Washington. I have to have the resources to be able to get there. But one of the most disappointing things is I know people that are inside Washington also call these same people. And then when those people have an issue and they try to reach out to them, they have no access to that person whatsoever. They don't, you know, they say, especially if they're from out of state or outside their district, they say, oh, you're not in my district. You're not in my state. I can't listen to you. But they have no qualms at all about sending them out fundraising letters and calling them on the telephone and asking them for money. So it's kind of disingenuous.
One way street, right?
Yes, one way.
I'll take your call if you're going to send me money. But after that, leave me alone.
That's right. That's right. And you know, that's why I've been working so hard to build real relationships across the spectrum. You know, I met with the Chinese American community in Chandler recently, and they're not a huge voting bloc, but they really are passionate about being prosperous and growing the economy and valuing our freedom and our liberty. And no one really reaches out to them except for during campaign time, and then they ignore them. And that's just wrong. I mean, we need to build those real relationships so that the people who are representing us can actually do a good job at being us in Washington.
Yeah, you brought up the VA. I'm very interested in that. Of course, this is Phoenix, and we were sort of ground zero for the VA scandal that has just the more you dig, the more you find. What did you make of the president dismissing his VA secretary yesterday, Shulkin, and of his new appointment?
Well, you know, Shulkin was one of the holdovers from the Obama administration, and it's unfortunate that he wasn't able to just get the job done. I think that Donald Trump sees the need to privatize a lot of the services that our veterans should be getting but aren't in this behemoth government bureaucracy, and Shulkin was really against that. And so I think that this is a good move in the right direction, in a positive direction to actually start delivering on what we've promised our veterans all along. If we really want a strong military down the road, how do we expect young men and women to want to voluntarily enlist into our military service if they see on the other side their uncles, their dads, their grandfathers, their brothers, their sisters not getting the benefits that they were promised when they did sign to protect our liberty and to protect our freedom? We've got to deliver on both sides. We've got to give our fighting men and women that are on the front lines a raise. I'm glad to see that in the omnibus bill. That is one of the things that I am happy was there. But we also have to deliver on the other side to the veterans.
You know, back on the omnibus, you know, one of the issues here, of course, that that people talk about with the Senate. The president's talked about it himself recently, is the 60-vote threshold. You know, that's not, that is not a constitutional limitation.
Nope.
That is a limitation that the Senate has, through their rulemaking process, has imposed upon themselves. I think you know where I'm headed with this, but
yes.
what do you do to fix that?
Right.
You change it to a majority rule, go right, go mm-hmm. back. We're going to go to a break.
Okay.
Let me leave.
We'll leave everyone in suspense.
We'll leave them in suspense. Why is it? Here, I'll ask you the why question. Why is it that senators of both parties want the 60-vote rule, and how do you overcome that and get them to change it?
Mm-hmm.
That'll be the question when we come back. And when we come back, Dr. Sebastian Gorka just walked into the studio, so he will be with me and with Dr. Kelly Ward. I'm Chris Buskirk. He's Seth Leibs, and this is the Seth and Chris Show, and we will be right back. Welcome back to the Seth and Chris Show. I'm Chris Buskirk. I'm in studio live with Dr. Kelly Ward. She is a candidate for the Republican nomination for the United States Senate to fill the seat that Jeff Flake is vacating. And I also am very happy to welcome, not the first time to the show, but the first time in studio, Dr. Sebastian Gorka. How are you?
It's great to be here, Chris. Great to be here in person.
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy you're in Arizona for once. It's fantastic to see you here. Okay, you guys are here together because you have a big event in support of Dr. Ward tonight out in Scottsdale.
Yep.
Who wants to tell me a little bit about it?
I'll tell you. We're going to be at the Scottsdale Resort and Villas, and you can find out about it at kellyward.com. Just click on the events tab, click the Scottsdale link. We'd love to see people come out.
People are registering right now.
Yes.
Latest intelligence. So it's popular.
Yeah,
it's
keeps going
up. That's not fake news. That's actual
real
intelligence.
Real news.
Yeah.
Real news. Real news right here, as you would always expect on 960 The Patriot.
That's right. All right. So when we went to the break, I had asked you the leading question, which is, okay, they have this 60-vote rule in the Senate, which gets used as an excuse a lot for, we couldn't do X because got the 60-vote rule. Do you think that maybe they like it as an excuse, some of the senators? And what do you have to do to get over that hump?
Yeah, I do. I think they do like it. They've become really an obstructionary body to great policy that's being sent over from the House. Not all of the policy that comes from the House is great, but there is some really good policy that could get to the executive's desk and really make a difference in many Americans' lives. And instead, it's just languishing there because the senators like to be part of the global tuxedo club, and they rub elbows with all of these important people, but they don't have to actually get the job done. And they've been relatively safe in election processes because we reelect our senators more than 90% of the time here in this country. And they found this formula that works, especially in red states like Arizona, and it's to be a campaign conservative and then a liberal legislator. So they for four and a half years, they just do whatever they want while they're in Washington, D.C. And sometimes that's not very much because of that 60-vote rule. And then, you know, it comes down to campaign time and they come in and they tell you they want to build the wall, and they want to, you know, they want to secure the border. They want to stop illegal immigration. They want to repeal Obamacare. We remember that from last time, right?
I mean, we sure do, yeah.
Senator McCain, he was right on the trail saying he wanted to repeal Obamacare. And then when he had the chance to actually make the deciding vote, he gave the big thumbs down and the big thumb in the eye of the American people that stuck us with Obamacare for longer than we should have ever had it. So, I think the rules of the Senate have to change. I think we do need to consider going to a 51% or a 51 vote majority in order to actually get things done. We might want to do it in an incremental fashion, pick some certain things that we're going to do the 51, and then move forward as we see if the business is getting accomplished.
Dr. Gorka, I got a question for you.
Yeah. I'm just trying to, this phrase, what did you say, the Global Tuxedo Club?
Oh, yes.
I'm glad I didn't wear my tuxedo.
The GTC, the Global Tuxedo Club. Okay. John Bolton,
yes.
Appointed National Security Advisor. It's a pick I like. Not everybody on the right likes it. And I'm not talking about the weak right, the X right. But, I mean, there are some people who think, maybe a little too aggressive, mm-hmm. neocon. I don't buy that. I don't buy that at all. I actually think Bolton is a good pick. And ultimately, it's the president that sets policy. Tell me how you look at the Bolton.
So number one, all this mudslinging about him being a neocon, not true. Number two, I wrote a piece in The Hill on Friday where I focused on the first interview John gave within 40 minutes of the president tweeting out that he'd named him. And it's a very interesting interview because John shows – his full understanding of what a national security advisor is in the original 1947 National Security Act definition. John was a pit bull at the UN, just like Nikki Haley, but he knows that's a different job because he used an account from Dean Acheson, and Dean Acheson was asked, how do you have such a good relationship with President Truman? And Acheson allegedly said, Well, that's easy. We may disagree on some policy issues, but at the end of the day, I always remember who got elected president, and it wasn't me.
Right.
Now, John Bolton saying that in his first interview after the announcement leads me to say this is John Bolton 2.0. He knows he is there to be an honest broker, and he's there not to impose his conceptualization of what is best, but to provide a palette of options to the president and make the decision. And people should not worry. I don't care if you're a paleocon, if you're a Reaganaut. This president, I worked for him. He is not an adventurist. Let's talk about North Korea. Right. I can tell you, hand on heart, I was in the Oval myself with the president, just the two of us back in May. And he said to me, he looked at me very seriously and said, I have no desire to get engaged in a war on the Korean Peninsula. Now, he will take whatever measures are necessary to defend us, but he looks at Iraq, he looks at all kinds of decisions made in the last 20 years as bad for American security. So the idea that suddenly John Bolton's going to change this 71-year-old president,
I don't buy it. I think I actually like Bolton a lot because I do think he on it when he says, I'm here to implement the policies that the president wants implemented. I think he means it.
He means it. Right?
It's not a stealth. It's not a stealth advisory role.
And he's an outspoken individual, but he understands where the buck stops. And at the end of the day, we have a massive issue in the National Security Council. 125 leaks in 126 days. We have to get a grip on that. General Kelly seriously got a grip on it, but not enough. Why? What do we have? We have the Putin phone call is leaked. That's at the highest level of U.S. government. That isn't some flunky holdover who's down here at a GS-10 level. That is a phone call between the President of the United States and another nuclear-armed nation, and the memo notes are being leaked. So John Bolton is the right man to fix that.
Yeah, this was one of the things I like most about Bolton, one of the things I most appreciated that he said. He said almost immediately, he said, if you're an Obama appointee, pack your bags.
Again, what is the NSC? I don't want to get technical and historic. The NSC is not a bureaucracy. And what is misunderstood up to now is that it's not there to serve the agencies. For decades, it's been there to serve the State Department. Wrong. It is actually a political body in the policy sense of the word political. It is there to represent the president's objectives, not the State Department's. Not the DIAs, and John Bolton understands that we have an excellent national security strategy. Nadia Shadlow was holding the pen. It's the first national security strategy that is worthy of that title in, I think, 30 years. It is Trump.
There's actually a strategy there.
There's a strategy. It's not a kitchen sink of collection of everything. It has a vision. It's Trumpian. It has of the voice of the president. And that is what the National Security Council should be implementing. Mm-hmm. I saw it with my own eyes. You know, a GS-15 and SES who thinks, well, I've been here 20 years. I'll be here when this president's gone. So I know better. Wrong. You're a bureaucrat who serves the president. John understands that.
Yeah, and the president serves whom?
Us.
The American people. Right. This is what seems to get
what a crazy idea, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. All right. Dr. Gorka, Dr. Ward, thank you so much for coming in studio with me. I really, really appreciate the time. All right, last time. The event tonight is
Scottsdale Resorts and Villas. We're going to have a great night. And Dr. Gorka is going to be there talking about national security, stopping terrorism, making our country safe again, making America great again. And most importantly to me, supporting my endeavor to get to the United States Senate. And drain the swamp. Exactly right.
Fantastic. Hope to see you all out there. I'm Chris Buskirk. This is the Seth and Chris Show. We'll be right back.
Either one.
So who's gonna start this segment?
After you, Alphonse.
No, please, you do the honors.
Gaston and Alphonse. I'm Seth Leibson. He is Chris Bus. What's your last name?
I'm Seth Buskirk. He's Chris Leibson.
It's been one of those days.
Yeah. Well, it's Thursday.
Nothing feels like a Tuesday. Some things feel like a Thursday. We covered this the other day.
Rarely do you hear somebody complain. Oh, this is, somebody's got a case of the Tuesdays.
I have a complaint.
Well, no, really?
Oh, really? That's a first.
Now, Seth.
I have something to complain about. Okay, so you and I are in radio, fair to say.
That's what they tell me.
Right.
That's what the paychecks say.
You've been in it a couple years now, right?
Yeah.
I've been in it something like a little longer, 14 years. And you know what? I have figured out the game the engineers have when they don't want to talk to us. When they don't want to talk to us, they just make up words. They just make up words and phrases to confuse us and throw us off. I walked into the chief engineer. They do this to me all the time. They just throw out things like, oh, I'm working on clocks. I can't talk to you now. Clocks? I've been in the business 14 years. I've never heard anyone say I make up clocks.
Oh, you
I'm
know,
working up clocks.
They tell me they had to work on something with the Fetzer valve.
Yeah. Yeah. The mix. Oh, I think there's a problem with the mix minus. I got to go work on that.
Well,
the
yeah,
clear feed. They just make this stuff up.
Because we don't know.
All the time.
It's like if you're a, you know, you're a housewife and you go in to take the car to the mechanic, or when any of us have the AC guy come, it's July, it's 127 degrees outside and the AC is gone. Oh, you know, the AC not looking too good. How much is it going to be?
They work right.
How much you got?
Yeah. How much you got? What you got? A great interview. Dr. Gorka's obviously a national treasure. One of the things I find interesting is the team that won't give up. There are two teams that won't give up. One of them keeps losing, though. One of them keeps losing. And the one that keeps losing is the people that keep getting things wrong. Did you see Julie Kelly's latest over at American Greatness? Guess who is leading a Never Trump war room now?
Oh,
Mike Murphy.
It.
Mike Murphy. Mike when Murphy. Was the last time he was on a winning campaign? Yeah, there he is on MSNBC almost every day.
Every day.
There he is telling us what Donald Trump and the White House are doing
wrong.
Wrote
a piece in Politico today.
Yes.
That Politico commission for Mike Murphy.
Why are they commissioning things from the people who tell you what not to do?
Why? Because Politico, like some other little papers back there that we know of, like some other news stations that we know, are actually advocates for the Democrat Party. So they solicit Mike Murphy because he's going to write something. As a Republican, a former Republican strategist, he is the person who ran Jeb Bush's Right to Rise pack, burned up $150 million.
Yeah.
Burned up $150 million. Did I say burned up? Yeah. Nothing to show for it. And they get him, say, oh, Republican strategist to the Bushes. And he's going to tell us what? Well, the piece is about how Republicans need to, not ought to, not should, must primary Donald Trump in 2020. And he goes on writing about how to do it.
If the
goal is to burn up other people's money by the hundreds of millions of dollars and have nothing to show for it, Mike Murphy is the person I would go to.
Absolutely. Right.
I will add this, though.
Yes, go.
If I wanted to burn $150 million.
There are better ways to do it.
So much better ways.
So
I would have way more fun than they had. I'd have way more fun on a tenth the budget.
Well, I'm trying to recall what it is that made Mike so well known, and I think, meaning no humor,
the pratfalls.
I think he had one big success in electing Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think that was his claim to fame. He was famous for doing the red checkered shirt of Lamar Alexander's campaign back in '96.
That was his fault.
But you've never heard of President Alexander.
I was going to say. So he's been guiding presidential candidates to defeat for years and years.
I just don't know why they keep going back to these guys.
When you say red checkered, if it doesn't end with tablecloth
in a quaint
Italian restaurant or barbecue, they both have them.
Or a shirt that I wear on Saturday.
If you're Andy Griffith, sure.
Or me.
Or you.
I walked in one day with my shirt and a friend of mine said, nice tablecloth.
Did he stick a candle into a Chianti bottle and try and sit it on you?
No, he did the old Dave Letterman thing that he used to do. We wiped his face with it. You know how Letterman used to do that with his ties? I'm Seth. He's Chris. We'll be right back. Wait till you hear what Facebook is up to now. 602-508-0960. Did you hear that little bark at the end of that commercial?
I sure did.
It sounded like Hillary's bark, didn't it? I thought it was Hillary.
You thought it was Hillary.
Remember when she was doing that arf-arf thing?
With the cough that she didn't have.
No. She was doing a deliberate bark-bark thing. Do you remember?
Oh, Bill, you know what it is. Can you find it?
Do Hillary barking like a dog. It was during the campaign thing. It was one of the most unfortunate things she did in a most unfortunate series of things she thought
was
funny. That's
amazingly unfortunate.
You've never seen this?
I don't think I have.
Oh, you're missing out. Want to do a quick programming note. The great Michael Walsh is going to be joining us at the top of the next hour. He has a wonderful piece at the at American Greatness. You know, I've been talking a lot about, you have too, Chris, about how the left just seems to want to move through the Constitution's Bill of Rights like a scythe, just taking them out one by one. They've done a pretty good number with the First Amendment, especially when it comes to speakers' rights and listeners' rights at college campuses. They've done a pretty good job, I suppose, on the heart of the document itself. What would you say is probably the most abused clause? Maybe the Commerce Clause?
Probably. Oh, yeah, for the clauses? Yeah, no.
Of the clauses. There's the Santa and the Commerce.
Right.
But they've really hurt the Commerce most.
Santa is on the chopping block, though.
Yeah, he's up next. They, of course, have been making their moves on the Second Amendment. But pretty soon, there's just not going to be much left if they go unchecked. Anyway, this is what Michael Walsh wrote about at American Greatness, and we're going to talk to him about the left's war on the Constitution. War on civility. Let's talk about that for a moment. You and I, for the last couple of days, have been going after Facebook because they've been going after the American and civilized people in a way, haven't they? Is that fair to say?
I think so, yeah.
They've been acting uncivilly. You know what's going to happen now is there's going to be just a drip, 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 and here's today another drip. This memo, I can't believe this memo was written. It's the kind of people that they have as vice presidents at Facebook. Have you seen this latest thing? Unbelievable. Facebook Vice President Andrew Bosworth. I'm reading from BuzzFeed, not exactly a conservative website, right?
Yeah.
Facebook Vice President Andrew Bosworth said that, quote, questionable contact importing practices, subtle language that helps people stay searchable, and other growth techniques are justified by the companies connecting people. Just a little over 2 years ago, one of Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg's most trusted lieutenants circulated an extraordinary memo weighing the costs of the company's relentless quest for growth. Listen to this. This is exactly the kind of thing, this is worse than, but exactly the kind of thing people imagined Ralph Nader was getting at in the 60s when he was talking about big corporations equations of how much life is worth, how much cost, and, you know, can we afford lawsuits from harm, that kind of stuff.
This is the old thing when the Ford Pinto, remember the Ford Pintos would occasionally explode if
something
they were
like
rear-ended?
That. And there was this whole thought that it cost the company less to put it to market and deal with the lawsuits after the fact than preventing that kind of stuff, right? This is worse. This is worse and real. Listen to this.
It's worse. I like
it's worse and real.
And real.
Listen to this. This memo. I'm quoting from the memo of the vice president. We connect people, period. That's why all the work we do in growth is justified. All the questionable contact importing practices, all the subtle language that helps people stay searchable by friends, all of the work we do to bring more communication in, the work we will likely have to do in China someday, all of it. So we connect more people. That can be bad if they make it negative. Maybe it costs someone a life by exposing someone to bullies. Maybe someone dies in a terrorist attack coordinated on our tools. Huh. The ugly truth is we believe in connecting people so deeply that anything that allows us to connect more people more often is de facto good. It is perhaps the only area where the metrics do tell the true story as far as we are concerned. Does this not blow
away? Yeah.
Maybe someone dies in a terrorist attack coordinated on our tools, and yet we still connect
people. As long as Facebook profits, no problem.
Or we connect people.
Yeah, we connect.
Planes connected with buildings. I mean, that had nothing to do with Facebook, sure enough. But there are connections,
We connect cannibals with their next meal.
Yeah, as long as we're connecting people.
Just connecting them.
Is this not incredible? You know what I you now see what I mean when I say
the hubris
worse
alone,
and
yeah.
real.
And real,
true.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the hubris is really shocking that we see in Silicon Valley and some of these companies. And Seth, Silicon Valley is like a trust fund baby spending through their inheritance. There is a tremendous amount of goodwill built up in this country towards Silicon Valley because there's been so much innovation, so many good things have come out.
Yeah, we're happy to use our phones. We like these apps.
We like
apps.
The microprocessor, computers, and cell phones. These are all good things we've seen to push the country and the world forward based on innovation that happened in large part in Silicon Valley. And yet this newest generation of companies is squandering that legacy because they are using – they're using the power that they have inherited, in some cases created, not what they would think. It's the old Google thing, right? Google's motto was don't be evil. And yet people look at Google, people look at Facebook, people look at Twitter and say, this is just big government by a different name.
I was rereading Conscience of a Conservative, little book you might have heard of.
Oh, Jeff Flake's book?
Yeah, well, I read that too. A little book you might have heard of, published first in 1960 by Barry Goldwater.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes into the big. He goes into big corporations as much as big government.
Right, exactly. This is a place where the Republican Party lost its way with a critique offered. Critique offered of Republicans by the left that Republicans are in thrall to big business has largely been true.
Yeah.
Because. Well, for a couple of reasons. One is people like the money. The candidates like the money that comes from big businesses. Yeah, that's true. But the other part is you see people, and I'll use Paul Ryan as an example here, they misunderstand free market ideology. They misunderstand the better parts of Austrian economics. They look at this and they somehow conflate free exchange of goods and services between individuals. Somehow they conflate that with big business.
Yeah.
They're not the same thing.
No, they're
not at all the same thing. What big businesses do always and everywhere is they are rent seekers. They seek oligopoly and they seek monopoly. Why? Because that's what you want if you're a business. You want to put your competitors out and you want to make as much money as you can. But that is to the detriment of everybody else. Right? And so government ought not to be, cannot be complicit with those goals of private businesses that are seeking their own profit. Let them compete.
Right. And some of us get this some of the time when we talk about things. I don't know if we fully connect the dots, but we get this some of the times when we talk about corporate welfare, preferred corporations, government picking winners and losers. That typically has to do with private organizations, does it not? It usually has to do with corporations, doesn't it? Sometimes it has to do with states, but often it has to do with corporations. Now the big one, of course, is Facebook. I have more to say about this memo. Always happy to take your calls, though. So 602-508-0960. And Jim, don't go away. We'll come right back and take your call. I'm Seth. He's Chris. We'll be right back.
Things like, the Great Recession was caused by too much regulation. Arf, you know?
Oh, good. Can we make it a Linda Ronstadt day? I think we need a Linda Ronstadt day. Chris, you're on board with that.
Linda Ronstadt day?
Little Tucson sound. We don't have to.
I'll acquiesce.
You'll acquiesce.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know if I can give it a full endorsement, but it wouldn't be bad.
And don't think I didn't notice what you were doing during the photo take, by the way. That will be discussed later and off air. Jim is in Gilbert.
I'm wondering because you didn't say anything.
Yeah. It's not because I liked it. Hi, Jim. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Okay. Go ahead.
Tell your engineer not to forget the flowback modulator.
The flowback modulator, yes.
Have you ever tried to get spare parts for a flowback modulator? Not easy.
Well, it's connected to the disgruntificator, so you have to be careful.
Thank you, Jim. Okay, you know of what I speak.
Yeah. About a year ago, maybe less, one of you or a guest on your show or a caller made a comment about Kelly Ward, that Kelly Ward is just another Jeff Flake.
No.
No.
Never once on this show. Would not have been said.
I don't listen to any other Phoenix talk show. Or listen.
Okay, well, go on. Go with your point. It wouldn't have been Chris.
No, it wouldn't have been me.
But go ahead. Go ahead.
If it's not you, then you can't explain why.
Well, we can delve into some abnormal psychology. Go ahead.
Or paranormal.
Yeah, or paranormal. Go for it. No, Jim, go for it. Go.
No. I'm new with Arizona politics.
Sure.
So I'm trying to learn whether I'm trying to decide whether I'll vote for whichever Republican wins the primary, but I want to know which Republican in the primary.
Ah, well, that I can't tell you what to do on that one, Jim. but I can tell you that neither one of us would have ever compared her to Jeff Flake. No, I think the differences between Kelly Ward and Jeff Flake, and I think Chris would probably agree with me, are the same distance as between two things that can be as far apart as possible. I can't think of the analogy.
No, I agree with that. I would not have ever said that.
If a caller said it, it's possible a caller said it, but it would have been a caller we would have disagreed with.
Right.
But I don't even remember that being said.
That's just not possible. I don't think that, never thought that.
No. No. Now, I did get a caller. He looks like he hung up, Chris, saying that the Ralph Nader book was about the Corvair, which is true. Unsafe at Any Speed was about the Corvair in 1965. But there was a later story about the Pinto, irrespective of that book. It was the Pinto design, and that was the Ford vehicle that we were talking about. So, right, on all parts. By the way, that might be the analogy. Kelly Ward is as different from Jeff Flake as Ford is from Chevrolet. Two different, totally different companies. Totally different companies. Different zip codes, different area codes, different outlooks, different effects. Oh, I'll work on my analogies. Yeah, it's not the best. They're different. No, sorry. I'm Seth. He's Chris. Michael Walsh coming up next on the left's assault on the Constitution. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.